Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, July 1st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, medical marijuana 1 year on and a dispute over law enforcement in Mille Lacs County. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the state's medical marijuana program. Now two manufacturers are distributing the drug in pill, oil, or liquid form across the state. Some qualified patients say the drug has helped tremendously, but for others, challenges still remain. Reham Fashir reports.
There you go. Oh, that was a seizure. Did you see how he kind of rolled his eyes? There you go, buddy.
4-year-old Wyatt Hauser is sitting down for lunch. Some ham, bananas, and blueberries. His mother, Jessica Hauser, mixes in a small dose of not-so-tasty cannabis medicine with his applesauce.
And then he gets significantly less of the green because it's got a higher THC content. But he needs a little THC to help with his seizures.
Wyatt was the first patient to register for Minnesota's medical cannabis program last year. After dealing with seizures since he was an infant, his mother, Jessica Hauser, fought pretty hard to help get the law passed. Until a year ago, Wyatt was on 12 different medications for his epilepsy that hindered his quality of life.
His side effects were so severe. He had serious behavioral changes where he was just really angry all the time. And like right now, he's a pretty happy kid.
Cannabis cut Wyatt's seizures by more than half. He went from having 200 a day down to 80. He still wears a helmet to protect his head from what's called drop seizures. At 4, he doesn't speak and has cognitive delays, but he's eating, sleeping, and working on his physical therapy. Over the past year, about 1,500 patients signed up for the state's medical cannabis program. Nearly 600 healthcare practitioners have been authorized by the state to certify patients. Two manufacturers plan to have all 8 distribution sites open by the end of this month. And today, doctors can begin certifying patients for intractable pain, a condition the Department of Health Commissioner added in December. Those patients become eligible to receive medical marijuana next month. It's been a slow and steady growth over the past year. While most patients report seeing benefits from the drug, others are still having a hard time finding a doctor who would certify them. Many say it's too expensive, so they end up getting marijuana off the black market.
So I have a tent here in my backyard that I work out in and I smoke my cannabis in.
Janessa Lee has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, a collagen disorder that affects her joints, skin, and blood vessels. She finds smoking marijuana helps with the pain. She's been able to exercise again and do her physical therapy. Lee qualified for the state program a year ago under muscle spasms, but she doesn't plan to renew her enrollment. She can't afford to pay $1,000 a month for her prescription and feels like a criminal buying marijuana off the street.
I can't be with my family. I have to separate myself to have this medicine and then to also not feel like I'm a criminal all the time.
The 29-year-old single mom used to be on 30 different meds for EDS. Empty bottles of narcotics still sit in a box at her house. She says she keeps him around as a reminder and that she's doing so much better now.
I wasn't able to function as a mother. I didn't have any drive to even take care of myself. I was in so much pain and the narcotics stopped working after a while.
Early state surveys show some medical marijuana patients reduce their pain meds or quit taking them altogether. But Dr. Charles Reznikoff, an internal and addiction medicine specialist, cautions against making judgments about whether cannabis could replace opioids.
Within the group of people suffering from pain on opioids, is there a subset that may benefit from medical cannabis? Almost definitely. Who exactly that is, we don't know. Is there a subset of people that would be harmed by medical cannabis? Almost definitely. Exactly who those people are, we don't know. And are there a big, you know, in my opinion, probably a big group of people that medical cannabis will neither help nor hurt?
When it comes to marijuana, there still isn't enough scientific data about its effect on pain. A clinical trial in San Francisco with collaboration from the University of Minnesota is underway. Two clinical trials here are also looking at cannabis and seizures. Even though medical marijuana hasn't completely eliminated 4-year-old Wyatt's seizures, Jessica Hauser says he's been a much happier kid over the past year.
We've just been able to enjoy him and enjoy having him as part of our family and get to know him. Right? And get to know you without all the mask of those side effects. Huh? Get to know you, sweet boy.
Reham Fashir, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe is denouncing a decision from Mille Lacs County officials last week to end a cooperative law enforcement agreement with the band. The county says they revoked the agreement due to a dispute over state law, but what's really at the heart of the disagreement is a long-running dispute over the band's reservation boundaries. Dan Crocker has more.
The unanimous decision by the Mille Lacs County Board of Commissioners will end about 25 years of cooperation between the band's police department and the county sheriff's office. The agreement allowed band police officers to respond to Indians or non-Indians they saw committing a crime on the reservation. It also allowed the tribe's officers and sheriff's deputies to call each other for backup. But Mille Lacs County Attorney Joe Walsh says the cooperative agreement had ceased being cooperative.
There's been a breakdown in communication between the Tribal Police Department and the Mille Lacs County Attorney's Office, between the Mille Lacs County Sheriff's Office and the Mille Lacs Tribal Police Department, that is tremendously concerning to me.
That breakdown began about a year and a half ago, Walsh says, after the band applied to the Department of Justice to allow federal prosecutors to also charge crimes committed on the reservation. As part of that application, which the federal government approved early this year, the Department of the Interior issued an opinion on a decades-old battle over what constitutes the band's reservation. The band argues it consists of the 61,000 acres set aside in an 1855 treaty with the federal government. That area spans the entire southern shoreline of Lake Mille Lacs. The county contends it's limited to land held in trust for the band by the federal government. That's only about 3,000 or 4,000 acres. In effect, Walsh argues, the band leveraged a decision about law enforcement to advance their point of view on the much broader reservation boundary question.
All that Mille Lacs County wants is a truly cooperative relationship with the Mille Lacs band and to put aside this boundary issue to be resolved separately.
In response, Mille Lacs Band Chief Executive Melanie Benjamin says the band had no influence on the federal government's decision.
So we can't really force the government to do anything. They're the ones that have to determine that, and they made that choice.
And she argues the county's decision places politics over public safety.
It's just plain and simple. If you end a law enforcement agreement, apparently you're not that concerned about the public safety of individuals.
And public safety is a big issue on the Mille Lacs reservation right now. Benjamin says there's a rising tide of drugs and violence on the reservation, with more than 1,600 crimes committed since 2013. And the band cites a problem called res hopping, where criminals travel from reservation to reservation to try to slip through jurisdictional cracks. Jessica Intermill, a founding member of the Hogan Adams Law Firm in St. Paul, who specializes in Indian law, says cooperative agreements between counties and tribes allow officers to focus on stopping crime.
What these agreements really allow people to do is they allow the first responders to be the helpers that they want to be without asking those jurisdictional questions.
It's unclear how those jurisdictional questions will be resolved after the county board's vote goes into effect on July 21st. County Attorney Joe Walsh says he plans to ask the State Attorney General's office to issue an opinion on how much authority the band's police will have without a state cooperating agreement. Meanwhile, Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Solicitor General Todd Matha says the department will continue to do what it's always done.
Our police officers are going to provide the same level of law enforcement services that they always have and that the community has come to rely upon. We believe we have that authority by virtue of federal law, tribal law, as well as state law.
But the Mille Lacs Band says response times could be affected if sheriff's deputies are farther away than tribal cops. To address that issue, the county is planning to hire 10 additional deputies. Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Duluth.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. I'm going to be off for a couple weeks, so I'll try to get my friend John Collins to fill in if possible. In the meantime, you have a great Independence Day, and I'll see you back again here in a couple of weeks.